Well, Sunday morning, we're talking about spiritual depression, its causes, and its cure. And so far, we've emphasized the importance of understanding justification by faith. This biblical teaching that tells us that the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God counts us as being righteous, perfectly righteous in his sight. We've also emphasized the fact that our past sins have been forgiven. They have been buried, if you like, in the deepest sea and are remembered by God no more. And that there is no sin too great for God to deal with. God is a God of amazing grace. But this week we're thinking about looking back with regret. I wonder, is there anybody in this room this morning that is without regret? We all have regrets, don't we, of one kind or another. It may be that there are some people here who regret not being converted sooner. It may be that somebody here this morning would say, oh, if only I had been converted sooner, I would not have wasted so many years of my life living to this, that, and the other. I could have spent more time serving Jesus and growing in the Christian life. I wonder whether some of us perhaps regret not reading our Bibles more in days gone by, or not praying more, or serving Jesus more in days gone by. I wonder whether we regret wasted opportunities for speaking about Jesus. I hope you won't mind me saying this this morning. She's not here yet, and she's not here. But Joanna has come home sometimes really frustrated and annoyed with herself because there was an opportunity to speak into someone's life about the Lord Jesus, and she didn't take the opportunity. As a pastor, I've got lots of regrets. I'm not going to spell all that to you this morning. But I look back and I wish that I had been much more disciplined in prayer. I wish that in the early days of my ministry that I'd preached through different books of the Bible. Well, when I was a training pastor at Bethel's Baptist Church, I did a relatively long series on the life of Elijah, and I enjoyed it. And I think there were one or two people that also enjoyed it, but only when I think, as a young preacher or pastor, I would have done well doing a series through Genesis, or a series through Romans, or Galatians, or something like that. We all have regret. And I think the Apostle Paul had regrets. I think he deeply regretted the years that he lived as a Pharisee persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. I would suggest to you, open tentatively, that he regretted the fact that he was the last of all the apostles to see the risen Lord Jesus. Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. I'll pick it up from verse 3. You know, it's a bit right at the end that I want to emphasise. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at that time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. I would suggest that he regretted not seeing the risen Christ and putting his trust in him before he did. Now there's one thing that I don't want us to do, and that is to go home this morning feeling guilty. Guilty over things that we don't need to feel guilty about. I now need to refer back to what I said last Sunday. If we have repented of our sins, they have been forgiven. And God remembers them no more. They have been buried in the deepest sea. So if there are things in the past that we regret, but we've repented of them, well, let's not go home this morning being guilty about us, having had them perhaps brought to our minds. Furthermore, I'm saying that it's not always a bad thing looking back at past regrets, especially if we're going to learn from those things that we failed to do or did do that we wish that we hadn't done. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was so keen to read Christian books, and I bought Christian books left, right, and centre. I regret that I purchased a lot of what I did, and read a lot of what I did. Now I look back with regret, but I learned from my mistakes. Now I now only buy Christian books that are recommended to me by trusted persons. It's not necessarily a bad thing then to look back at things that we regret, but what I think we must do is to dwell on those things, to dwell on those things. Because when Christians do, they so easily become depressed. And of course, if we're depressed, we're not able to experience the joy that Jesus would have us know. And we may find ourselves becoming paralyzed in terms of serving the Lord Jesus in the present. So what is the cure for being depressed about past regrets? Well, I want to say a number of things, six things in fact, and they're all listed there for you in the weekly news sheet. But before we look at them, I do just want to emphasize the fact that I'm not expounding on one particular verse or portion of scripture, but I will be making a number of references to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 to 10, and in fact I have already made reference to these verses. So what is the cure for being depressed about past regrets? Well, firstly, I would invite us to consider the value of dwelling on past regrets. Consider the value of dwelling on past regrets. Now, I think that this is probably a matter of common sense. Common sense, as you probably know, says don't cry over spilled milk. Now, someone might say, but Mark, we come on a Sunday morning, and we don't expect you to pass on to us common sense. What we expect you to pass on to us is the Word of God. We can receive this kind of advice in the world in which we live. Where we can find it in our community. We can find it down the pub. We can find it in all kinds of places. And I acknowledge that. But I have found what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says at this point really helpful. I'm not going to give word for word, but he says something along these lines. The wisdom of the Christian should be greater than the wisdom of the unbeliever because he has God's word. This is God's wise word to us. If we follow what God says to us in this book, we should be able to live well. The wisdom of the Christian should be greater than the wisdom of the unbeliever because he has God's word. But this is the important bit. It should never be less. It should never be less. The wisdom that we apply to everyday life should never be less than the world's wisdom. And let's be honest, sometimes the world, or unbelievers, apply common sense much better than we as Christians sometimes do. They don't cry over spilled milk. They move on. They get on with life. They imagine a businessman. He enters into a business deal. It all goes pear-shaped. What does he do? Well, he knows that it makes sense not to cry over spilled milk, and so he enters into another business deal. He shakes the dust off himself, as it were, and he moves on. Common sense says that it's a waste of time regretting what has happened in the past. Nothing can be done about it, so what is the point? Now, I'd argue that this is common sense, but actually, I think we can argue that there's a biblical precedent for this. And I use the Apostle Paul as my example. He regretted, deeply regretted, his pre-conversion days. But as we saw last week in Philippians in chapter 3, he resolved not to spend all his time looking back. On the contrary, he resolved to press on towards the goal or the prize of Christ's likeness. He was a man, yes, learning from the past, but essentially looking forward. Secondly, I would say this morning, try to make the most of the present. Try to make the most of the present. Again, one could argue that this is common sense, but remember, the wisdom of the Christian should never be less than the wisdom of the unbeliever. Interestingly, when we look at the New Testament, we see that the Apostle Paul worked harder than all of the other apostles. And I would suggest to you that he must have worked incredibly hard, because I would imagine that the rest were incredibly hard workers. Why did he work incredibly hard? Or perhaps it was because he was trying to make up for lost time. But it was certainly a case of making the most of his life that remained. Again, listen to what he writes. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Some years ago, Joanne and I were in a church, and there was a lovely elderly couple there, and they were really enthusiastic about the Lord and were involved in just about everything that the church put on. And I remember speaking to the senior pastor, and he said, I think that they're trying to make up for lost years. You see, here were a couple that were converted when they were relatively young. But they had spent many years in what we might describe as a lukewarm condition. They spent many years almost in a spiritual wilderness. But there came a day where the gospel message, I think, sort of captured their attention in a new and in a fresh way. The love of Jesus was brought to bear upon them in a remarkable way. They were renewed. And they thought to themselves, we want to make up for lost time. We don't want to spend all our time looking back at the time we've wasted. We want to make the most of it. And that's something I think we should be encouraged to do. To try and make the most of the present. Thirdly, though, focus on who you are. Focus on who you are. Not what you haven't done, but you wish you'd done. Or what you've done that you wish you hadn't done. Focus on who you are. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a member of the kingdom of God. A member of the kingdom of God. Imagine a man walks along the road late one evening, and he notices that there is a party going on in a house. Now, it just so happens, this is my story illustration, I can make it up if I want to, the owner of the house, the host of the party, is in the front lawn, and he sees this man walking by, and he says to him, hey, why don't you come and join the party? So the man says, well, I've got nothing else to do, I might as well come and join it. And so he follows the owner of the house into the house, and sure enough, there's an amazing party going on. Everybody looks happy and joyful. They're having the time of their life. And then he starts thinking to himself, you know, this party's been going on for a long while. I've been missing out on this. Looks at his watch and he thinks to himself, well, actually, there's not much time left. Everybody's going to be going home soon. So he stands at the door, regretting the time that he's wasted. Rather than enjoying the moment, rather than enjoying the fact that he's no longer outside on the street, but he's in the house. He's part of the group. Friends, we may not have entered into the kingdom of God until quite late on in life. But let's not spend all our time regretting the fact that we became a Christian late on in years. Let's just simply rejoice in the fact that we have become a Christian, that we have become part of the kingdom of God. Think of all the people in Jesus' day, the prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors, they were all entering into the kingdom of God. And what were they doing? They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing in the fact that they were part of God's great and glorious and eternal purposes. The Apostle Paul writes, for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Focus on who you are. Not what you've done or what you haven't done. Fourthly, appreciate what you have been forgiven. Appreciate what you have been given. And here I want to make reference to the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. It's a fascinating parable, isn't it? Here we have an owner of a vineyard, and he requires people to work in his vineyard. And there are some that begin work early on in the day, but as the day goes on, he's inviting more and more to enter into his vineyard and assist with all the work that needs to be done, and there are some that get invited to work in the vineyard right at the end of the day, before the sun sets. There's no longer opportunity to work. Well, what happens at the end of the day? Well, they get paid for all their hard work. But interestingly, everybody gets paid exactly the same. Some have labored all day. What do they get? A denarius. Some have only labored for an hour or so. What do they get? They get exactly the same. They too get a denarius. Again, you may be somebody who regrets entering into the Christian life late on in life. But you know, the wonderful thing is this, that we have received the same grace as those who became Christians when they were in their formative years. And we receive the same forgiveness of sin. We've received the same righteous status before God. We've received the same Holy Spirit and the same certain hope of heaven. Be careful not to dwell on the past. Rejoice in the present over what you have been given. Fifthly, and quickly, occupy yourself with Jesus. Occupy yourself with Jesus. Now I know that I've said this before, and I think it's something that needs to keep on being repeated. So often we feel depressed because we are so preoccupied with ourselves and all the things that we have done or that we haven't done that we regret. There's a terrible danger in what we might call self-absorption. Now, as I said last week, that there is a place for self-examination. We should examine ourselves. But our primary focus must be on the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us. Keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, the author and perfecter of your faith. Think of him who left the glory of heaven to live on earth and to die on a cross for your sake. Think of him who rose from the dead in order that you might share life forevermore in him. Think of him who ascended into heaven and now rules over all things. See, when we find our joy, according to the scriptures, we find our joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, says the Apostle Paul. Let's be like the Apostle Paul who wanted to know Jesus more and more. Even towards the end of his life, when he was in prison, this was his desire. He expressed it as he wrote to the church in Philippi. I want to know him. But when we read that, we might think to ourselves, well, didn't he already know just about everything that one could know about the Lord Jesus? Well, I dare say that he knew more than most people knew, but this was still his desire, you see, as one who fixed his eyes upon Jesus. I want to know him more. More and more and more and more. And sixthly, and lastly, know that God is able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. During the time of the prophet Joel, the people of Judah experienced some very difficult years. And it was because swarms of locusts had devoured their crops. However, despite the loss that they experienced, God promised to restore the years the locusts had eaten. This is what God is able to do in our lives. We may live with regrets concerning the past, but God is able to bless us in ways that compensate for the days of carnal living or lukewarmness or whatever they may be if we will commit ourselves to following him unreservedly. I think we can say that this was true for the Apostle Paul. But for many years, he lived a miserable life as a legalistic Jew or Pharisee. He was a man devoid of the joy of the Lord, but he came face to face to the risen Christ. And from that moment on, he knew times of inexpressible joy. Now someone might say, but what about the thief on the cross? And how were the years that the locust had even restored to him? Well, he didn't have long, did he, to live as he was hanging upon the cross. But I would suggest to you that once Jesus has said to him, today you will be with me in paradise,
He knew a joy in life that he had never known before, a certain hope that he had never known before. Yes, he was suffering terribly, just as the other thief was, just as Jesus was. And no doubt he would have liked to have been free from that pain, but I can't help wondering whether he wouldn't have changed those moments. You can't know Jesus. He seems to be forgiven. That very day, Jesus had promised he would be with him in paradise. I wonder when that joy made up all the years that he felt that he had wasted, living his life in sin and rebellion against God. Having said that, I think we must go on and say that actually his life didn't end at the cross, did it? Actually, the day he died was the day his life really began. You see, he would spend the rest of his life, which can only be described as eternal life, with Jesus, serving him and knowing him. As created beings were intended to know him. Let me put it this way. His wasted years on earth will be compensated more than he could ever begin to imagine in all eternity. Friends, do we have any regrets? I'm sure we do. But if we do, let me encourage us to consider the value of dwelling on those regrets. Let me encourage us to make the most of the present. Let me encourage us to focus on who we are. Not what we have done that we regret, or that we failed to do that we regret, but who we are. Let me encourage us to appreciate all the things that we have been given in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage us to occupy ourselves with Jesus, to focus on him, as I've already said, the ultimate perfecter of our faith. Joy, after all, is to be found in Jesus Christ. And know that God is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That's right. Lord, we're all prone to look back at times and to regret certain things. And we pray that you would grant us wisdom. And help us, Lord, not to dwell and to become discouraged and depressed. But help us, Lord, to do what you would have us do. Help us to press on. And help us to press on looking to the Lord Jesus. The one who has died to deal with all our regrets, all our mistakes. The one who has died in order that we might know joy. Joy in the present, joy in knowing him, and joy in serving him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, shall we? To conclude this part of the morning.